And hence there is a concept of zoning to be done in the operation theatre. There are four kinds of zones which are to be done. These zones are protective zone, clean zone, sterile zone and the disposal zone. Now the clean zone is at the pre-operative room. Prior to that there can be protective zone where the patients are waiting, reception of the patients is occurring there, the trolley bay is there, the lift and staircases are there, from other floors the surgical ward they are coming to the operation theater, the switch room, pre-anesthesia room is there where the patient is going to be examined by the anesthetist to see to it that there are no abnormal sounds in the lungs which can have problems at the time of giving anesthesia and all. So his heart condition is normal, lung condition is normal, ECG is normal. So pre-anesthesia room is there. Then there is a changing room for the patient to be changed into the OT clothes for the staff. Then there is a store room where all the cap mask and the other linen etc. is there for OT is there. Then there is a clean zone where pre-operative room is there. The recovery room is there by the side. The theater work room is there. X-ray plaster room is there for the orthopedic cases. The sisters room is there and anesthetic room is there where they are changing, scrubbing etc. Then comes the sterile zone where the operating suit is there, scrub room is there, anesthesia room is there, instruments trolley area is there where all the instruments used which are going to be used in the operation theater, they have to be totally sterile because these instruments directly enter the abdominal cavity, directly enter the tissues and organs of the patients during operations. So they have to be absolutely sterile. The bacterial count should be zero. There are indicators which tell us that the bacterial count is zero by using the auto sterilizers etc. And there are strips available which tell us that 100% sterilization of these equipments have been done and the bacterial count is zero. So one has to see to it that in this sterile zone the ventilation is proper, the temperature is properly controlled, AC is there, the laminar airflow is there, HEPA filters are used for taking this air from inside, from outside to inside and all. Before entering the room, the HEPA filters are to be used, laminar airflow is to be used in, especially in total knee replacement, total hip replacement etc. So a sterile zone in operation suit is extremely important. And then after the operation is done, he will be sent to the recovery room and the instruments which are used in the OT, the blood soaked or the fluid soaked dressings which are done, the during operation some of the cotton is used, some of the gauze piece etc. is used, they will be now going to outside for disposal. And that's a dirty room where the disposal corridor is there, nearby the janitor corridor is there, and that's a disposal room zone where it is not going to be sterile. Now as I told you, sterilization in operation theater is extremely important. So one has to have a special airflow pattern where the air that is going to enter the operation theater have to be absolutely filtered and purified, whereby the right temperature air is there, the bacterial count in that air is zero. Then comes standard cleaning or disinfection with appropriate chemical agents have to be used. The floor has to be dry when operation theater in use as far as possible. During operation some blood may fall on the ground which should be minimal, and that also should be immediately taken care of by putting bleaching powder on it and making it sterile before disposing of, and it should not be hazardous to anybody who is going to touch. And of course inside all the staff will be having the gown, cap mask and gloves on their hands so that direct contact with the skin, the nasal secretions etc. are never going to occur. Fumigation of the operation theater is a very old procedure. It has been used for number of years over the period one can say, and the most common being formaldehyde, where formalin solution 5 to 10% is to be mixed with potassium permanganate, and the fumes are then generated, thereby they are going to take care of all the bacteria within the premises of the operation suite, operation theater, and the ceiling of the door has to be absolutely hermetic. It should not come out at all, and for 12 to 24 hours it is to be kept like this, so that by this kind of sterile fumes it will be fumigated and every nook and corner of the operation theater will be bacteria free. So fumigation has been used nowadays. So many other newer solutions have come which will make it sterile within an hour or so, but they are going to be costly, and still some of them are newer enough for us to know exactly how effective they are going to be. Then comes infection control committee, is a very important committee in the operation in the hospital, who are going to take care of the controlling of all kinds of infections in the hospital and especially in the operation theater, because hospital acquired infections, the operation theater acquired infections, etc., are very, very dangerous for the patient, because at that time the patient is vulnerable because of the low immunity many times, and then the organisms that are there are, because in the hospital environment at times the patients from whom these organisms have come out, they may be already resistant to many of the drugs. So multi-drug resistant organisms, maybe bacteria, viruses, etc., or fungi, etc., can be there, and if these organisms are again going to another patient, naturally their recovery will be much later, and it will be difficult for us to judge which medicine to be given unless you are doing the culture, send antibiotic sensitivity test for these kinds of fluids when they are developing septicemia and all, and hence the stay of those patients also will be further more delayed, and the suffering and the higher antibiotics to be used, which are going to be very costly. So it's a really costly affair to get a hospital acquired infection, and hence to control all that you require many precautions to be taken, and for that infection control committee is going to be very, very essential, especially for managing the operation theaters, prevention of hospital acquired infections. One should have totally restricted entry in such kind of operation theater, where only those required to do the operation, anesthetist and the assistants and the sisters staff who are needed at the time of operation should be given entry. Nobody else should go inside. And thorough washing and carbolization should be done so that the organisms are killed. And secondly, regular training of the staff should be done. What all precautions are to be taken, how thoroughly scrubbing should be done, the putting on gloves also, there is a technique to wash the hands, thereby you are not directly going to touch even the tap with your fingers, and then applying the gloves in the right way and all. So thorough regular training should be given to the staff. Operation theater discipline has to be maintained. Thorough surveillance of this should be done, and periodic bacterial counts of the operation theater in the on the operation table, on the walls, on the floor, on the surrounding area of the operation theater, all should be done periodically to find out if there are any bacterial counts, then how better fumigation should be done, refumigation should be done, closure of this should be hermetically sealed and all that, and one has to take care of that to prevent any infection. Keeping floors dry whenever possible by vacuum cleaning rather than sweeping, because when you sweep, the dust goes up in the air, and along with the dust the microorganisms are also going up, and then they can directly come in the inhalation zone of the patient or the staff, and then it can lead to infection carrying easy, and hence vacuum cleaning is very essential. And whenever the OT is used, you have to see to it that it remains in dry condition, because once it is wet, there are more chances of the bacteria to grow. Now, what are the various functions of operation theater? First and foremost is to perform the surgery in absolutely safe and aseptic environment. You have to ascertain the patient's comfort, the staff's comfort, and it should be not only in the physical form but also emotional comfort should be taken care of, because usually patients are very anxious when they go for operation. They have heard some or the other stories in by their previous relatives and friends that some people have gone in the OT and they died on the table, or some people, the operation was going on and on, they were very anxious, what will happen and all that. So the emotional aspect of the patient is, and the relatives of the patient, is also to be taken care of properly. There should not be any panic. If the patient is very anxious about this operation, previous night he may be given anti-anxiety drug like Restyl, etc. Also maintain high standards of performance of all the staff, the surgical team, anesthetic team, etc., and optimum utilization of the with the highest best technology to be used and the best precautions to be taken to prevent any kind of problems. You have to acquire, maintain and suitably utilize all the equipments. So latest equipment should be used. Whatever minimum time we can use for the patient's operation is best, but of course one has to be thorough technologically and by competence so that everything is being done properly. Maintain theater discipline for following all the prescribed procedures, and you have to update your procedures from time to time. You should be having standard operating procedures. Attempt maximum utilization of theater by proper scheduling, by see to it that all the surgical team, anesthetic team, other staff team, everybody comes in time. Punctuality is very essential. The previous runover of the case of the operation, in case of some complication, one has to tell the same thing to the next patient to come, and one has to see to it that if required, little bit of extension of time may be taken to complete all the list of the patients. Prevent any iatrogenic complications. Prevent all the health hazards which are possible for the environment in the case of bacteriology. The proper sterilization and asepsis to be taken as far as the radiological complications are concerned, because one has to do the portable x-rays in the operation theater, C-arm, at the time of operation. So some radiation may go at that time, you have to be more careful. And as far as the anesthetic and agents are concerned also, the anesthetist should be well qualified, well competent and experienced person, because in longer surgeries at times we have to give anesthesia for a longer time, and at times we are paralyzing the muscles to prevent any movement of the chest at times for certain surgical procedures. So one has to be very careful to give the right kind of dose and give the right kind of supportive treatment so that the patient is not going to get any complications because of the anesthesia. And even infective agents are very common. If you are slightly careless about your procedures, about your scrubbing, about your sterilization of equipments, etc., so one has to be very careful and see to it that the standard operating procedures are followed. One is doubly sure that these equipments are absolutely sterile. Minimize postponement of surgery as far as possible, because as we know, already the patient is on empty stomach from the previous night. He is highly anxious about his surgery, and after that, suppose you tell that now, because the surgeon has not come, anesthetist has not come, or the previous surgery has gone beyond time for 2-3 hours, now it is not possible for us to do your surgery. It will be very, very mentally traumatic to the patient and the relatives. So as far as possible, one should prevent or minimize the postponement of surgery for the patients. What are the various criteria to be looked into while planning the operation theater? One has to see the environmental criteria, to see to it that there is complete environmental control to be taken care of for safety of the patients, for comfort of the patient, as well as for the surgical team who are going to operate. Economic criteria, if we see the optimization of interrelationship between various financial areas and operating departments, has to be taken care of, because finally it's a very costly thing when a person is undergoing operation. So minimal wastage of the material should be there, and minimal time wastage should be there. Minimum postponement of the surgery should be occurring so that the unnecessary cost is not going up, and proper relationship between the anesthetist and the surgeon, between the other staff, so that a good coherence and synchronization of everybody's function is there, whereby the minimal wastage of time and optimal utilization of all the resources is occurring for this operation. The workflow criteria should be the flow of patients, staff and supplies in operating department should be well planned. That means one has to be very punctual about the timing. One has to take the flow in such a way that there is no wastage of time at any stage, right from the ward to the pre-operative room where the patient is going to be transferred, where the patient's investigations done in the form of X-ray, ECG, etc. will be seen by anesthetist to confirm for the criteria of the fitness of the patient for operation. When the patient goes inside the operation theater, immediately he has to be draped and scrubbed, etc., so that no time wastage should occur, because all the staff should be ready in action at that time. Then functional criteria, one has to design based on the functions that are going to be taken care of in the operation theater. Now, number of operations per day will depend on the various factors, and hence which is considered to be number of surgical beds into percentage of bed occupancy rate divided by average length of stay into 10 into number of working days into 365. This is the formula given for average number of operations per day, and based on this formula we can calculate how many operations can be done optimally in a day, and only that many operations have to be kept per day, otherwise one operation less, so that in case some complication occur in some operation, then it can be easily completed the list and proper scheduling can be done. Now, number of OT required based on the number of hospital beds, if we see for 300 beds usually we require 2 minor operations and 3 major operations. For indoor patients and for OPD and emergency usually it is 1 minor operation, and of course for OPD and emergency we don't expect any major operation to be done. For 500 bed you can have 2 minor operations and 5 major operations for indoor, and in case of OPD and emergency there can be 1 minor and 1 major operation, while in case of 750 it can be 2 minor and 8 major for indoor and 1 major and 1 minor in case of OPD and emergency, while in case of 1000 beds it can be 2 minor and 10 major and 1 minor and 1 major in case of OPD and emergency. So based on the number of beds you can have the number of operation theater suites to be constructed, and accordingly the pre-operative room and recovery room etc. to be planned. So, what are the advantages of grouping of the operation theaters? One is, when you have grouped the operation theater in a separate location within the hospital premises, of course, then in case of need you can expand that so that you can add one or two more operation rooms there. Secondly, we can have maximum flexibility of use of this operation theater if you have got more obstetric operations, you can add one more obstetric theater, you can have more, suppose you are having more orthopedic problems because of the accident which has occurred and there is a disaster where stampede is there or many people have fallen down and all that, or railway accident is there, maybe there are multiple fractures and all, then probably you will need more of operation theaters for orthopedic surgeries. So in case of this kind of grouping you can add one or two orthopedic surgeries easily and utilize it, so flexibility of use is there. Secondly, if you have got flexibility of use like this grouping of OT is there, then for one OT if it is remaining vacant and in the other OT suppose you need some more staff to be taken in, then you can always utilize those staff from the other OT to your OT. So better staffing can be done, better organization of the surgeries can be done and better control will be there. And overall if we see the whatever resources in the form of human beings, that is staff, nurse, the orderlies, the ward boys, the surgeons, the anesthetists, etc., they can be used in an optimal way. Secondly, the equipments that are being used also can be utilized in optimal way, so that wherever it is needed that tray can be shifted from one OT to other OT also. And it is easy to maintain and it will lead to minimal cross infection because patients are just shifted from one OT to other if required, and increases utilization of operation theater as a whole because any operations can be done in any other OT also, and minimization or cancellation of the OT list will be there, scheduling will be better, and the anxiety on the part of the patients will minimize, because you can always schedule the patient from one OT to other easily when there is a grouping of OT done, and hence there is no question of postponement of operation theatres as far as possible. So, size of this generally should be 40 square meters, and especially in case of cardiovascular thoracic surgeries, neurology surgeries, orthopedic surgeries, where we need larger equipments, the longer hours of the patient's operations done, the more complicated surgeries where more number of assistants will be required and all, you need the space of the OT also to be more, and hence 60 square meter will be required, while in case of endoscopy suite, procedure room can be just 20 square meter, because here the surgery is minimally invasive where not much of space will be required in and around. So, what are the staff's requirement for operation theatre? One is theatre superintendent, who is the head of this operation suites, who is going to overlook the administrative function of this, the maintenance of the cleanliness and asepsis, which is very, very essential. The all the equipments should be there in proper order and functioning, so that preventive maintenance of these equipments to be well done. The as far as breakdown is concerned, it should be minimized, and if at all the breakdown occurs, you should be having the contacts of all the required people. Very quickly they should come and correct it. There should be adequate stock of all the consumables required on all the equipments, instruments, and he has to see to it that all the operation schedules are perfectly made, so that there is hardly any chance of postponement of surgery. The trained nurses should be there, who should be at least two per table, so that they are very efficient in passing on the equipments at the time of surgery. Because most of the things, the nurses who are trained, when they know that for this particular operation all these equipments are likely to be needed, in case of slight complication these are the additional equipments to be needed, so she has kept all the trays ready by the side of the operation theater, and she has organized these tray in such a way that the equipments needed at the beginning of the surgery are near the patient, in the middle of the surgery are slightly away, and then at the end of the surgery are slightly away from that, so that it is very convenient and ergonomically easy for the nurse to pick up those equipments very fast and pass it on to the surgeon or the assistant surgeon, and that is how the optimal utilization of the time and the efforts of the all the staff will be there, and hence trained nurses in the OT are very essential, and there may be special training to be given to the OT staff, especially in case of children's surgery, in case of cardiac surgery, in case of neurosurgery, because there are special equipments needed for that. And the recovery room nurse patient ratio should be 1:1. Per patient who is operated, who is there in the recovery room, we should have one nurse looking after that, because any time suddenly the anesthesia complication also can occur, or suddenly some bleeding can occur from the operation site or inside, and the nurse should be very, very sharp and highly skilled and competent to understand the earliest signs of complications, so that she can take care of these patients fast and call the skilled doctors or those who have operated this patient immediately and take care of this to prevent any complications. The theatre assistants should be there, who should assist in preparation of trolley for the equipments, even packing of all the instruments, gloves, gowns, etc., and they should coordinate the supply of sterilized items from central sterile supply department. They should arrange the transportation of the patient from ward to the operation theater, and as well as after the operation is done, after the patient has been observed in the recovery room for an hour or two, based on the type of operation, he has to see to it that safely that patient is transferred back to the ward from where the patient has come, or based on the type of surgery if required in ICU or high dependency unit also. Then labor staff should take care of the absolute cleaning, segregation of the biological waste, taking blood or biopsy samples to the laboratory by proper care of those so that there is no mix up and proper labeling has been done by the nurse. Now, as far as the administration of operation theatre is concerned, one thing is scheduling of the operation is very, very essential. This will prevent any postponement or absolutely minimize the postponement of the surgeries. So, perfect planning should be done based on the number of beds, based on that earlier the number of OT suits should be there, the readiness of the surgeons, anesthetists, other assistant staff, staff nurses, orderlies, everything should be perfect, and accordingly the information should have been given to the ward nurses for patients sending at least 5 to 10 minutes earlier to the required time, first in the preoperative room where the anesthetist will see the reports and make the final fitness and explain the patient what will be done. Then the patient flow and coordination should be done properly, whereby you have to see to it that the required supporting staff in the form of ward boys, orderlies, the right kind of stretchers or wheelchairs, etc., everything is in proper control and there is no postponement of the surgery because of inadequate supply of these essential things to transfer the patient also. The timely patient preparation should be done. The efficient patient reception should be there and there should be parallel processing by use of induction area where initially the induction of the anesthesia can be given or induction of the labor can be started in case of obstetric cases in the nearby room. Then there should be flexible facilities and continuous process improvement as per the quality management, ISO, etc. Continually you have to improve your processes, improve your standard operating procedures, improve your equipments, improve their skills by imparting them the right kind of training periodically. As far as the punctuality is concerned, you have to be very, very punctual, otherwise there is a mess. Training of staff regarding asepsis, taking universal precautions as if every patient coming to you is suffering from either HIV or HBsAg, and hence think that way and then have the right kind of universal precautions taken. As far as the operating list is concerned, it has to be prepared well in advance and everybody should know about it. Then as far as the dirty cases are concerned, in the form of abscess, in the form of fistula, in the form of piles, etc., abdominal surgeries, some of the gynec surgeries also, such kind of dirty cases should be kept at the end so that there is no chance of spillage of these pus, urine, stool, etc. on the floor, and hence you need lot of cleaning of this required. So before the second operation can be taken, it will take lot of time and hence unnecessarily the second operation may be delayed. So as far as possible, such dirty cases, MTP, medical termination of pregnancy, the fistula, piles, etc., should be taken as the last operation in that operation theatre, so that after that there is no more surgery to be done and proper cleaning procedures, proper biomedical waste hazard management can be done. Now, as far as the monitoring of the operation theatre asepsis is concerned, you have to have once a week maintenance done. Swabs for microbial growth should be taken at least once in 3 months and if required more. As far as the air conditioning is concerned, you have to check it, including the filters of the AC has to be checked, HEPA filters should be used. Environmental control, you have to control the temperature at the right degree of centigrade. The humidity should be perfect in the form of 40 to 50 degree. Ventilation should be very good, therefore should be frequent air changes so that the chances of microbial organisms growing in that is minimized, they are flown away outside. Adequate pressure maintenance should be done based on the zoning. Some pressures like positive pressure maintenance should be there at the preoperative room, higher pressure maintenance should be to the next room, scrub room, and then still higher should be there in the operation theater, and lower maintenance should be there in the dirty room or disposal room. Fumigation should be done at regular, the disinfection of equipment should be done, operation theater table and all the other articles used there should be thoroughly done, and proper indicators should be used to see to it that all the things are properly sterile or not. Fumigation at regular interval with standard equipment and standard operating procedures to be followed scrupulously once a week at least, and at times once in 3 days also based on the requirement. And staff with infection should not be allowed to enter the operation theater. So, somebody suffering from upper respiratory tract infection, somebody suffering from loose motion, vomiting, etc., should not be coming in the operation theater, because he is likely to spread this infection to others. Now, what are the various common problems that we come across while managing operation theater? Sometimes the processes that are there for scheduling of the patients, for calling the surgeons, calling the anesthetists who are going to multiple places, the assistant surgeons, the staff nurses, they are busy in multiple work, that is not allowed. If you do that, it will be poorly designed processes will be there, and hence there are likelihood of delaying the surgeries, not getting the right equipment when the surgery is going on, further irritability, high temperament of the surgeon, goof up sometimes, and then vitiating the atmosphere and leading to delayed surgeries, postponement of the next surgeries, etc. So, all the processes should be perfect, standard operating procedures should be there, everybody should know their roles and responsibilities, everybody should be well trained, and they should be competent and skilled in their function. Change reluctance and friction among the staff. If you are giving the chain to the staff in first shift to second shift, or if the surgeries are delayed, if you tell them to work instead of 8 hours, 12 hours, at times they become irritable and there is a friction among the staff. Lack of motivation will be there if there is no reward given to the employees or staff who are giving to their utmost, who are at times losing their sleep, at times in odd postures they are doing, and still giving you the best results for the patient. If you don't appreciate them, if you don't reward them, naturally their motivation will be less, and patient may start dodging the responsibility. If they are less motivated, they start blaming others at times, and overall the discipline of the OT will be vitiated, and lack of discipline can lead to multiple problems in operation theater scheduling and proper functioning of the operation theater. So, this is how we saw the total medical care system, where we saw about the outpatient services, a very important service where the community can be given even health education at that time. Outreach services can be done along with OPD services. Then the essential service of casualty, where all the emergency care is required to be taken care of for the survival of the patient, acutely ill patient, and especially in many disasters where casualty services are extremely important. So, disaster preparedness of the hospital, taking care of various steps well in advance, preventive measures to be taken, the communication is very important at that time, and requirement of additional staff, they should be ready with one phone call or with one message, they should come and take care of them, and all postponement of elective surgeries, relatively less sick patients can be discharged at that time, and take care of the mass casualties, doing proper triage, etc. So, we have seen about the casualty services, we have seen about OPD, various multi-speciality OPDs, we have seen even how the delay which occurs in the OPD services can lead to multiple problems for the patients, and how to minimize this overcrowding of OPDs, and how to minimize their waiting period by simulating and various other techniques, management techniques, And finally, we also saw about the ICUs, intensive care unit, where specialized care is required. So, highly skilled and technical staff is required to be taking care of all that. And finally, we saw about the operation theater, where asepsis, zoning of the operation theater, proper scheduling of it, and overall highly trained people, competent people, how to motivate them and then take a smooth flow of everything, taking care of and taking the emotional aspect and the physical aspect of the patients, staff, etc., and ultimately giving the best care to the patients and their relatives, so that hospital basic function of which is to treat the patients and cure the patients is taken care of. That is where the most important function of hospital comes, and these are the four services we saw, and that is how one should approach hospital operations as far as the care is concerned. Thank you.